Okay, so the Gemara says the cheres she'eno shamea ve'eno medaber. That's potter min hamitzvos. But the cheres that it's a shamea ve'eno medaber or medaber ve'eno shamea is potter not from simcha but potter only from re'iyah. So there's obviously something specific about the mitzvah of re'iyah that is unique, that is somehow exempts the individual who is compromised in their ability to either speak or to hear. So the Gemara says, why is that? So what's the Maishal in Re'iyah de Petiri with regards to the mitzvah of Re'iyah, their potter regards to the mitzvah of Simcha der Chayim? So Le'inyin Re'iyah, with regards to Re'iyah, Gomar Re'iyah Re'iyah Mehakel. We compare the mitzvah of Re'iyah with regards to the Shalosh Regalim to the mitzvah of Hakel. What's the mitzvah of Hakel? The mitzvah of Hakel is to gather the Jewish people every 7 years on the Moed and the Shnas HaShemitah, and the Melech would read the Torah. Mehakel dechsev Hakel es ha'am. Gather the nation. Ha'anoshim ve'anoshim ve'ataf. Gather the men, gather the women, gather the children. V'ksiv bivo kol Yisrael liros. So that when all of the Jewish people come to see, and we have this word liros with respect to hakel. So we have, says Rashi, the word liros with respect to re'iyah, the mitzvah of re'iyah. So we have a mitzvah of re'iyah on the regalim. We have a mitzvah of re'iyah for hakel. These individuals, the shomea ve'eno medaber, the person who can hear but can't speak, the person who can speak but can't hear, is exempt from the mitzvah of hakel. This mitzvah to gather everybody together, they don't have to come. So if they're exempt from Hakel, they're exempt from the Shalosh Regalim mitzvah of Re'iyah. But that only applies to Re'iyah. That has nothing to do with the mitzvah of Simcha, to be joyful on Yontif. So the Gemara says, well, hold on. V'hasam minolan. How do you know that somebody who can't hear or can't speak is exempt from the mitzvah of Hakel altogether? Who says? It sounds like we're very inclusive when it comes to the mitzvah of Hakel. We include everybody. We include the men, the women, the children. So the Gemara says, "Dechsev leman yishmeu uleman yilmedu." The Gemara says, the pasuk says, with respect to Hakel, what does the Torah say? The Torah says, "Hakel is ha'am anoshim anoshim ataf egerach asher bisharecha." Leman yishmu, so that you could hear, uleman yilmedu, so that you could learn, v'yiru es Hashem elokeichem, and you can fear Hashem your God, v'shamru la'asos es kol yidibrei haTorah azos. So the Gemara says this was the experience of Hakel. V'tanya, and we learned in a brisa, leman yishmu, so it sounds like you have to hear the Hakel. Prat lemidaber ve'eno shomea. So somebody who can speak, but they can't hear, it sounds like they're exempt from the mitzvah of Hakel. Uleman yilmedu, and the fact that you have to learn there, prat lishomea, that excludes someone who can hear, ve'eno medaber, but he can't speak. Somehow that compromises his ability to go ahead and learn. Lememra, are you coming to tell us, dechilo mishtoi lo gomar, that just because someone who can't talk means that they cannot study, they can't learn? Vahinu tre ilme. There were these two mute individuals, the Havu Bishvavuse de Rebbe, and they lived in the Shchuna, in the neighborhood of Rebbe, Bene Barse de Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada, and they were the sons of the daughter of Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada, Amrila, and some say Bene Achse de Rabbi Yochanan. They were the sons of the sister of Rabbi Yochanan. The Chol Emas da Hava Ayil Rebbe Lebei Midrasha, that every time Rebbe went to the Beis Medrash to teach, Havu Alai Ayli V'yasvi, they would go up there and they would sit Kamayu in front of Rebbe. Umenaidi Berishayhu, and they would nod their heads. Umecharshin Sifsosayu, and they would move their lips. They would do what they could do to accumulate what was going on. Uboi Rebbe Rachme Alayhu, and Rebbe saw the she'ifa, the desire, the ambition that they had to study Torah, so he davened that they should be healed. V'issu, and they were healed. They were able to speak. So the Gemara says, v'ashlichach, and what happened when they were able to talk? We discovered, d'havu gemirei, that they were completely fluent in hilchasa, v'sifra, v'sifri, in medrash halacha, v'kulo hashas, and the entire shas. So clearly, just because you can't speak doesn't mean you're not internalizing information. So if that's true, then the Shomea ve'eno midaber, how could you exclude them from Hakel just because the Torah says, Liman yilmedu, that you have to also learn it Hakel? What do you mean you have to also learn it Hakel? So they can't speak, but they could hear, and they're learning. So, Amar Marzutra, Karibe Liman yilamedu. Actually, it's a drasha that we reorient these letters so that they pronounce a different meaning, which is Leman Yilamedu, in order that you should be able to teach others. And somebody who can hear but cannot speak does not have a way to communicate to teach others. Ravashi Omar Ravashi says, Vaday Leman Yilamedu. It was all along without this whole, story of all the guys and Rebbe and Yilamedu and the Drusha, and we can't figure out Shomea Ve'eno Medaber. That was always the din. Because if you thought it was about them learning, and if a person can't speak, they can't learn. And if a person can't hear, they can't learn. Part of the din here is Laman Yishmu. So if you're telling me Laman Yishmu already teaches us, what, you thought there was a formal din that you have to hear the Hakel but not learn and understand the Hakel? So the fact that the Torah said Laman Yishmu, which excluded those who can hear, who cannot hear, that already tells you that you have to understand what's going on. You have to hear what's going on. You have to understand what's going on. So what would be the problem? So if that was the problem, we learned that already from Laman Yishmu. So it must be Elevade Laman Yilamedu. It must be that what Yilmedu is coming to teach us is that it's not enough to hear it and to understand it. You have to have the capacity to give it over, right? Lilmod Ulilamed, we daven every single day, even if we're not a zocha to work in Jewish education, right? That still every person is supposed to study Torah, and every person is supposed to find opportunities to share and to teach Torah. That's part of the experience of Talmud Torah. Core to Talmud Torah is the notion of Mesorah, is the idea that you're not just a collective entity that is accumulating knowledge. You're a conduit. You're taking in knowledge and you're passing on knowledge at whatever level you can, at whatever level you're able to. Not just to children or your children, but to anybody and everybody. That's part of our relationship with Torah. Amar Rav Tanchum, Cheresh Ba'ozno Achas. Let's say you have somebody who's deaf in one ear. Pater min hara'iyo. That individual is exempt from the mitzvah of re'iyo. Shenemar, as it says, Be'oznehem. Right, that they are going to, says Rashi, bevo, so says the Torah, bevo kol Yisrael liros es pnei Hashem Elokecha b'makom asher yivchar. Everybody comes to see Hashem in the place to be seen before the face of Hashem in the place that he chooses. Tikra es haTorah hazos neged kol Yisrael. Read this Torah against all of Klal Yisrael, in front of all of Klal Yisrael. Be'oznehem. What does that mean? In their ears. So says the Torah, so everybody has to have total and complete health of their hearing. You have to hear it in its totality. You can't have any compromise in your hearing. We already need this Oznehem to teach us something else. The Oznehem, that they have to all hear it. The Kulo Yisrael, that all of the Jewish people have to be together for the mitzvah of Hakil. You can't just have, like, you know, people here, people there. So the Gemara says, no, we don't need Oznehem to teach that. Hahumi neged kol Yisrael nafka. That could teach us, we could learn that from neged kol Yisrael. Freeing up Oznehem to teach us you need to hear it all. If you need to hear it all, you need both ears, not one ear. Im neged kol Yisrael, nah, if we would have learned that you need everybody there from Neged Kol Yisrael, freeing up Oznehem, then Hava Amina, I would have thought, Afagavdu Lo Shamoi, that as long as everybody's there, even if they can't hear it, that's enough. We're just looking for the presence of Klal Yisrael. Kosav Rachmana be Oznehem, that you have to be able to hear it through your ears. V'hu de Shamoi, Yahu Mileman Yishmu Nafka. So the Gemara says, maybe that you can hear it, that we could learn from Laman Yishmu. If that we could learn from Laman Yishmu, then maybe that will free up Oznehem to teach us the din, that as long, even if one ear can hear, that's not enough. Amar Rav Tanchum, Chiger Beraglo. Let's say somebody is injured in their leg. right? Making the trip very challenging. Achas, raglo achas, and only one leg. Pater min ha-re'iyah, they're pater from the mitzvah of re'iyah. Shenemar regalim, right? Shalosh regalim tochol gli bashana. So we obviously assume regalim refers metaphorically to the, right? Or Rashi, I think, says by Bilam, regal means times, right? Based on this pasuk, right? So we don't think about regalim as meaning an actual foot. So this is one of those situations where the Gemara darshens the pshat, really. Right? But the Gemara is making a drasha based on the pshat that, you know, shalosh regalim, three legs. What's three legs? So the Gemara says, regalim, you have to have multiple legs. Vahar regalim, so the Gemara says, no, we already need regalim, ibayelei, not for someone that's chiger veraglo, but prat lebale kavin, that people who have a false leg, people who have a prosthetic, right, leg. So the Gemara says, ahu mipa'amim nafka, that we already learned from somewhere else, because the Torah says, shalosh and shmos, shalosh pa'amim bashana yira'e kol zichurcha. Right, that we already learned that if there's a compromise, if there's a limp, or if there's a false leg, that it's no good. So the Gemara says that Anya's, we learned in the Braisa, pa'amim, ein pa'amim ela regalim. Pa'amim refers to regalim. How do you know that? Bechenu Omer. So the pasuk says in Yeshayo, tirmsena regel ragle ani pa'amei dolim. Right. So what does that mean? That the foot, when it puts itself down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. So the Gemara says, "V'omer ma'yafu pa'amayich b'ne'olim bas nediv," right? Which basically means, how great are your feet? How great is the bottom of your legs? B'ne'olim bas nediv, that you're a prince. It's the daughter of a prince. So darash rava ma'idichsev ma'yafu pa'amayich b'ne'olim bas nediv. How great are the regalim of Yisrael? So you see the word pa'amim is referring to regalim, to feet. How great are the feet of Yisrael? B'shasha olim l'regel, at the time they go up to the shalosh regalim. Bas nediv, what's bas nediv referred to? What does that mean? The daughter of a prince. Bito shal Avram Avinu. It refers to Avram Avinu shenikra nediv, who's called a nediv. Shenemar nedive amim nesfu im elokei Avram. That the princes of the people are gathered together with the God of Avraham. Elokei Avraham, velo Elokei Yitzchak v'Yaakov. The God is just the God of Avraham and not the God of Yitzchak and Yaakov. Elokei Avraham, who Avraham is referred to first or exclusively, Shahaya Tzchila LeGeirim, because he was the first of the Geirim. And so therefore, when referring to the larger world, we refer to Avraham. Amar Rav Kahana, Darash Rav Nosan Bar Mimnuye, Mishum Rav Tanchum. So we have this drasha now. My dichsiv, what does the pasuk mean when it says, with regards to Yosef? Yosef was thrown into a pit. V'habor reik, ein bo mayim. That the bor is empty, and it has no water. Mimash v'shenemar v'habor reik, eini yodea she'ein bo mayim. From the fact that the bor is empty, I don't know that it has no water. Ela mayim ein bo, it doesn't have water. Avon dechoshim v'akrovim yesh bo. But it does have snakes and scorpions and things that could hurt him. Who knows where else does this Gemara appear? Oh, in Shabbos, Masechet Shabbos, right in the middle, smack in the middle of all the Chanukah Gemaras. You're reading all the Chanukah Gemaras in Bava Madlikim, and all of a sudden in the middle, it just kind of throws in this Gemara, and there's a lot of discussion about what this possibly has to do with. The Aruch Chaim writes on, you know, in the discussion about Hashkacha, Hashkachas Hashem, to what extent does God interventionally manipulate every single thing that happens in the world, right? There are many different statements in Chazal that go in different directions. Gemara in Chulin that talks about, you know, even a blade of grass, even a person doesn't stub their toe without it being gozer from Shamayim, Hakol Bidei Shamayim, Chutz Meira Shamayim. And then there are other Gemaras and other psukim that seem to indicate we have our own free will. God doesn't decide what we're doing and what we're not doing. So there's a range of approach in the Rishonim of how to understand the interface between HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkacha, His providence in the world, and our Bechira, our free choice in the world. In the course of that discussion, there's a fascinating Aruch Chaim. The Aruch Chaim asks on this Gemara, really, in the story of Yosef, right, what happened? His brother tried to save him. Reuben tried to save him. right, by throwing him in the pit instead of letting them kill him. So the Aruch Hayim asks, but I don't understand. He threw him in a pit, but the Gemara says in the pit were snakes and scorpions. So
it also says the pit was empty.
It says the pit was empty, correct, but the Gemara interprets that to mean that the pit was very dangerous, that the pit had snakes and scorpions. So how do you know, so how is that saving him in any way? How is that saving him in any way? So the Aruch Hayim makes a very bold statement. He says that a human being can kill another human being, even if God, so to speak, doesn't want that to happen. Now, that's within the ability of our Bechir. You can assault another person, even though, you know, that's not, Akash Baruch Hu would, so to speak, allow that to happen based on the Bechir of a person. There's evil in the world. You can choose to be evil. But animals, which are products of instinct and nature, animals won't act, so to speak, unless God allows such thing to happen. So even though, that was his cheshbon. His cheshbon was, I'll get them away from the murderous brothers because Yosef doesn't deserve to die. What do you mean doesn't deserve to die? The Nimnu Begamru, that he's Chayiv Misa, that's the Gemara, that they made a Bezdin and they, right? But no, but you know, to kill him, they could get away with that. So I don't want to kill him. I'll put him in this pit. And even though, and the brothers will see the pit and they'll say, oh, okay, he'll die anyway, and they'll walk away. But really, if Akadosh Baruch Hu wants to make sure that that they don't attack, they won't attack. Exactly. God will decide. Tanu Rabbanan, Maisa Rabbi Yochanan Bebroka, Rabbi Lazar ben Chasma. Shahochu Pnei, Lahakbil Pnei Rabbi Yeshua Bepikin. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Rabbi Elazar ben Chasma, they went to be makbil pnei Rabbo. They went to greet their Rebbe, Rabbi Yoshua, in Pekin. So Amar Lahem, so Rabbi Yoshua said to them, Ma chiddush haya bebeis hamedrash hayom? What was the chiddush that was shared in the beis medrash today? So Amru lo, they said to them, Talmideich, we're your student, Anu, umeimech Anu shosim. Yeah, we're not going to tell you what the rabbi spoke about in the beis medrash. You're Rabbi Yoshua, you tell us a Dvar Torah. So Amar Lahem, he said to them, Afa pikein, yeshal beis medrash below chiddush. It's not shayach that the rabbi gave a sermon and he didn't have a good chiddush. Tell me at least the jokes. So the Gemara says, Shabbos shalmi ha'isa. Rabbi Shua asks, whose Shabbos was it? Because Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah used to switch off. The whole story about how we got to that. Shari Elazar ben Azariah ha'isa. So they said, it's Elazar ben Azariah's week. V'ma ha'isa hagadah ayom. And what did they learn today? What was the parasha? So Amar lo parashas hakil. The redoration parashas hakil. Umadorashba. So what did he say about hakil? So he says, this is what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said. Hakil is you should gather the nation. Ma'anoshim, ma'anoshim, ve'ataf. The men, the women, and the children. Im anoshim, bo'im lilmod. If the men come to learn. Noshim, bo'os lishmoa. The women, they come to hear. Taf, lama. So why, Mama Boyin, why do the children come? They're not chayiv in anything. Could they litain schar lemivyehen? To grant schar, to grant reward to those who bring them. Amar Lahem, so Rabbi Shua said to them, Agol is tuba haya badechem akashim la'avdom imeni. You had a jewel in your hands and you almost didn't share it with me. Tosis points out on this Gemara, Nashim lishmoa. Amar Birushami de lo keben azay damar chayev adam lulamed levito Torah. Tosa says it's interesting, right? Because the Gemara says the men come to learn, the women come to hear. Why don't the women also come to learn? So there's a Mishnah that the Mishnah already discusses the discussion of whether or not one is chayev to teach their daughter Torah, or whether or not the other opinion in the Mishnah that call melamed levito Torah kilu melamed tiflus. And most of the poskim, most of the, you know, the Shulchan Aruch and all that do pask in that way against the din of Ben Azai, that women are not chayiv in Talmud Torah. The women are not chayiv in Talmud Torah. What does that mean, women are not chayiv in Talmud Torah? So the Rambam is really one of the first to already start to qualify this din. The Rambam says, no, it means they don't, it's tiflus to teach them Torah Shabbal Peh. But to teach in Torah Shebichtav, that certainly you're allowed to do. And then as the generations go on, it becomes, well, you should at least teach them the dinim that they need to know, that they have a chiyuv, right? They say Birchas HaTorah. So that's where this comes up in Shulchan Aruch, Holden Osa Kelem asks, why are they saying Birchas HaTorah if they're not you know, chayev to learn. Certainly, according to the Shulchan Aruch, the women don't make brachos on mitzvos that they're not chayev to do. So he says, oh no, they are chayev. They're chayev to learn the things that relate to them. They're chayev to learn the things that they need to know. And then, over time, the very famous evolution of the Beis Yaakov movement, which came to the Chafetz Chaim to discuss the notion that they had a very serious crisis in Europe, where because of the Haskalah, so the boys were all, many of them were in yeshivas, they were in chadarim. So they were at least inoculated for some of these ideas, although many of them succumbed to the Enlightenment movement. But they at least had a foundation, they knew a lot. The girls were off the charts, the girls were a disaster, because they had no education, they had no Jewish education. And all that was creeping through was literature and culture and all these things, and it was becoming a tremendous problem. So they came to the Chafetz Chaim, and the Chafetz Chaim, who actually makes this comment on his parish in the Gemara in Sota, where the Chafetz Chaim basically says, this whole din that kam lamdo bito Torah kim lamdo tiflus, that was only in an era of Jewish history where the educational framework was such that parents gave their children the full scope of a Torah education. The ma'atim is b'neichem, that we parents taught their children. And so therefore, you had a foundational mesorah of what to do. But now that the educational capacity of families is not able to transmit in such a way that they can resist the influences of outside culture, so we have to make a shift, we have to make a change. And based on his psak, and by the way, not all the gedolim in Europe agreed with the Chafetz Chaim. This actually became quite a massive disagreement. Based on his psak, he said we should teach them Chumash, we should teach them Nach, we should teach them Pirkei Avos, we should teach them Midrashim, we should teach them all sorts of different things. And then over time, this evolved even more. Rabbi Soloveitchik was one of the first to introduce the notion that, really following similar lines of logic as the Chafetz Chaim, that now that the women are going to university and they're learning physics and they're learning such high-level secular education, for their Torah education to be, at such a basic level, that's a real problem. That'll be a problem for the stature in which they hold Torah. It'll be a problem for their own Yiras Shamayim. It'll be a problem for their own development. And Rabbi Soloveitchik very famously gave probably what was one of the first Shiurim of Gemara to women at Stern College. There's a very famous picture of this shiur. My father was actually in the room for this shiur because he was working at YU at the time. And actually, it's a long story, but it's actually in the room for this shiur. And that sort of initiated the broader movement. And today, of course, we find that there's a tremendous proliferation of women's education, and whether it's none of it really falls within the rubric of what the Chafetz Chaim originally said. Even in the Beis Yaakovs, so they may not be learning Gemara's, opening Chagiga Daf Gimel, but they're writing reports, I could tell you firsthand. They're writing reports with 30, 40 Marim Komos. I don't think that's what they meant. And it goes from there. More open, there's institutions that are teaching women at very high levels of Talmud Torah. There are... And that's led to all sorts of other evolutions, that some of which are now somewhat controversial. Obviously, on the extreme, women who want to take it all the way to smicha, and in the less extreme, women who've come to become experts at areas of Talmud Torah, areas of halacha, and are providing guidance in certain areas of halacha, and that's the subject of some debate, whether or not that's a healthy, wonderful trend, whether or not that's a challenging trend, and that's the subject of some debate. So there are a lot of flavors to this, but at the end of the day, what's important to understand, 20 years ago, the hack was women Gemara, women not Gemara. Today, you go to pretty much, any institution, of higher learning for women, and you'll find, again, not all women are sitting there with the Talmud, but they're teaching them Torah Shebaal Peh, they're teaching them advanced halacha, they're teaching them background of halacha, they're teaching them 60 mefarshim on Psukim and Tanakh that go into many Mamari Chazal. And, so there's been an evolution of this, and it's cautious. It's cautious because it coincides with the feminist movement, which is coming from a completely different direction and a completely different agenda, an agenda not necessarily to maximize and actualize the potential of women in their Yiras Shamayim, but another agenda, which is to equalize men and women, which is not something we believe in. We believe that there are different roles for men and women. So there's a lot of overlap and there's a lot of intersection of these different issues and different things, and it needs calm analysis and a sense of clarity and elu ve'elu dira l'kim chayim and tremendous tolerance and respect. Everybody's coming from a good place. Everybody wants to do what's right, but different people have different opinions about what should be done. Okay, where are we here? So the Gemara says, "Anoshe ba'ataf imanoshe ba'elu noshe ba'elishma." And then they gave him another drasha. Right? This is a pasuk in Devarim. Right? And basically the pasuk says that we have affirmed HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this day. Hashem has affirmed us on this day. So what does that mean? So says the Gemara, Amar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Hashem says to the Jewish people, Atem asisuni chativa, achas, you make me one entity in the world, ba'olam, ani asescham chativa achas ba'olam, I'll make you one entity in the world. Atem asisuni chativa achas ba'olam, you make me one entity in the world, dechsev, as it says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that's what we declare every single day. Ba'ani asescham chativa achas ba'olam, and I'll make you one entity in the world, Shenemar, as it says, Umi ke'amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz. Right? Who is like you, Yisrael, one nation in the world? That's the Tosa says. Amrin ben Medrash Shloshim Eidim Zel Yisrael Shabbos Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Right? That Shabbos and Hakadosh Baruch Hu and Yisrael, we're all called echad. So va'afu pasach v'darash, and there was one more drasha. Divrei. This is a pasuk in Koheles. What does the pasuk say? Divrei chachamim kedar vonos. That the words of the chachamim are like goads. They're like the sticks that push the animals. Ukemis maros. And they are also like sieves. They're like nails. Sorry. They're like nails. Nituim that are implanted. Bale asufos nitnu miroa echad. And those that are composed of collections, they are all giving to one shepherd. So what in the world does this mean? Says the Gemara. Echad lama nimshu divrei Torah ledarvan. Why is divrei Torah compared to this darvan, this stick? Lama luchamar darvan zevichamin as a para letalmei, just like this stick, ensures that the para, that the cow, the ox, stays in its lane in creating the furrow for the plowing. Lahotzi chayim la'olam, and that brings life into the world. So too, Divrei Torah, if we stay on the Derech HaTorah, then we could ultimately discipline ourselves for a life of Chayim and not a life of Misa. But the other part of this metaphor is that the Darvan is a metaltel. It moves things from place to place. It's movable. So are Divrei Torah also movable? Are Divrei Torah, are Torah values also subject to the whims of society and to where society is going? There are so many challenges that we have in our culture where their expectations of morality even are contradictory to our values of Torah. Things that we believe in broader society make us, so how do we relate to that? Tamalomar mismaros. So that's what it means that they're like a nail, that they are they also, Divrei Torah, help fixate you in a particular place. They anchor you. But the nail where it goes into the hole, it makes the item chaser. So is the Torah something that's chaser and not yeser? It's something that's missing something. Tavlomer nituin. It's a nail, but it's planted. Manatia zu para virava, just like planting something makes it grow. Afdivrei Torah parin viravin. They also make it grow. Balei asufos. What are the balei asufos? Elu talmidei chacham shioshin asufos asufos. These are talmidei chachamim that sit in groups. Va'oskim b'torah. And they involve themselves in Torah. Halolu mitamin. Some of them feel that sometimes the situation is osir. Tame. Va'alolu mitarin. And some of them feel the situation sometimes is tar, is mutter. Halolu osrin. Va'alolu matirin. Halolu poslin. Some of them pasul. Va'alolu machshirin. So Shemer Yomer Adam, maybe a person will say, Hey Chani Lame Torah, how can I learn Torah? After all, it's just a bunch of rabbis arguing all the time, right? They never agree on anything. So Me'ata Tabalomar Kulam Nisnu Miroa Echon. They all come from one roa. They all come Nisnim Parnes Echod Amram Ibn Adon Kolamasim Baruchu. It all ultimately comes from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Dichsiva Yidaber Elokim is Kol Advarim Ha'ele Af Ata Ase Oznicha Ke'ar Paschasas. Paschasas. What? How do you pronounce it? Afar Keset. You should make yourself like a funnel. V'kani l'cha leiv mevin l'shma divrei mitamim v'divrei mitarim, so that you can understand both sides of these arguments. As divrei osim, as divrei matirin, as divrei posim, as divrei machshirin. B'loshen azeh amar lehem. So that's the approach. Ein dor yosim shari lozim ben azariah shari betocho. So this is definitely not a dor yosim, because there's so much profundity, so much understanding from Rabbi Lozim ben Azariah. So right? So we have a concept, Elu ve'elu, Divrei Elokim Chayim, that Torah is a very, vibrant, and, the Rishonim already talk about, based on the Gemaras and the Midrashim, that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu different ways to approach different topics. So how would we understand that? That there are different opinions, but all those opinions somehow fit under one truth. So there are different approaches in the Rishonim of how to understand that. Some assume that, no, objectively, some are right and some are wrong. But in the quest for the truth of Torah, there's a certain validity in approaching those approaches also. But objectively, there's an MS. Some are right and some are wrong. Some believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo v'shamayim hi, God gave us the Torah to interpret. And therefore, even if we have a halachic system that determines that the majority rules, and so we're going to go with a particular approach, but even the other approaches, so they operate within the system as a das yachid, and there are certain circumstances where you can resurrect a das yachid in psak halacha. There are certain circumstances where you can go into and bring it back up. So Ein dor yasam shav. Okay, v'leim rulei behedya mishumaisa shahaya. So the Gemara says, miyad lama huskak lomer tamidecha anu. So the Gemara says, why are you giving us this whole story about why they were so afraid to tell over these dinim? We have a maisa that tells you exactly why they were afraid to tell over these dinim. Titania, because we learned in a braisa, maisa v'riyosi ben durma sakai is shahalach lahakwa p'nei Rabbi Lezer b'lud. They went to go greet Rabbi Lezer b'lud. Amru lo, Amar lo, ma chidish haya bebeis ha-medrash hayom. So he said, Rabbi Lezer said, what's the chidish in the beis medrash today? Amar le, nimnu v'gamru, they decided, Amon u'moav me'asrin ma'isr sheni b'shvias. The lands of Amon and Moab, which on the other side of the Yarden, they, you take ma'isr ani from them on Shemitah, which means they don't have kedushas ha'aretz. So Amar lo Yossi, so Rabbi Yossi said, Poshid yadcha v'kibel einecha. So Amar lo, he said to him, Yossi, what do you mean, nimnu v'gamru, that you took a vote and you decided? You're telling me this? You should lose your eyes. So Amar lo, Yossi, pashu v'kibul einecha, pashu yada v'kibul einav. So he moved his hands and like his eyes popped out. He did lose his eyesight. So Bach Rabbi Elazar, when he saw that this happened, he cried, v'amar soda Hashem l'riyav, u'briyoso lo odiyam. So Amar lo lech emar lehem al tichoshu l'manechem kach mekublani Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Go tell them that it has nothing to do with their vote. I already have this din from Yochanan ben Zakkai, from much earlier. Sheshama mirabo v'rabo mirabo, that he heard from his Rebbe and his Rebbe heard from his Rebbe. Hilchasa l'moshe misinai, it's alach l'moshe misinai. Anum Moav master and meiser ani b'shvias. That Amon and Moav are not considered to be Eretz Yisrael. Matam, what's the reason? Harbei krochim kivshu ole Mitzrayim. There were many cities that were conquered by the ole Mitzrayim. Lo kivshuam ole Bavel. But the ole Bavel, when they came back, they did not conquer them. Ibnei shekitshu rishona kitshu l'shaita, v'lo kitshu l'asid lovel. So, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, as we've discussed before, is not inherent. It has to be infused by the Jewish people. the chosenness of Eretz Yisrael is inherent. Kodesh Baruch Hu chose the land of Eretz Yisrael. But its halachic status of Kedusha Sa'aretz, that asers you to work it during Shemitah, and makes it chayiv in Shumos and Maestros, all of that comes from the Kedusha that is infused by Klal Yisrael. So when we went ahead and we conquered the land the first time, Kitcha Rishona, low Kitcha Lassid level. The Kedusha of the Dor Yehoshua was only temporary. When we were expelled from the land, Churban Bayis Rishon, that Kedusha was expelled as well. And so there was no Kedusha Sa'aretz in between. When the Ole Bavel come back and they settle the land, there isn't a war, right? Koresh lets them come back. So they settle the land. So that Kedusha is Kedusha not just L'Shaita, but it's Kedusha L'Asid Lavo. Since it was mentioned at the Siyam that we like to quote things from the Rav, so Rabbi Soloveitchik would explain that the reason for this distinction is because the first Kedusha came through force. So when Kedusha, when sanctity is forced on something, so when a counterforce arrives, that sanctity could be expelled. When sanctity is not forced on something, but it is settled, the people didn't force the sanctity, they didn't conquer the land, they just went and they built their homes, they built their... So then, if those settlements are expelled by force, that doesn't necessarily expel the Kedusha. The Kedusha is everlasting when Kedusha comes through settlements, right? And that's true in general. We think about environments, individuals, experiences that we want to bring sanctity to. So sometimes people want to bring sanctity by force, right? The demands of Kedusha. We ban things, we insist on things, we make rules about things. When it's done, not rules that you have to conform to halacha, rules that are, when you try to create Kedusha by force, so as soon as there's a counter force, that Kedusha, easy come, easy go, you know, or hard come, hard go. But when Kedusha happens through nurture, through cultivation, through, you know, through process, through settlement, through living life as a experience of Kedusha, so then that Kedusha is lasting. That Kedusha is real. So the Gemara says, so what happened? So when the Ole Bavel came back with Ezra Nehemiah, so they settled a lot of the areas. V'nichum, they actually left these areas unsettled. Why? So this was their own little Shemitah approach, right? We have our Heter Mechira. This is what they did. They just did not infuse Kedusha into these areas so that those people could continue to work their land and we could continue to buy their produce. And this way, we had a way to sustain ourselves during the course of Shemitah. All right, what that says about the Torah's promise of the sixth year and all of that. Tzarechin. Tana la'achash nisyash adaito amar yiratzon shiachzor enei Yosef l'mekolman v'chazor. Just so you know, after he calmed down, he davened that Yosef should get back his eyesight, and it came back. Tana rabbanon, ezehu shota. What's considered a shota? The Mishnah said, the Gemara said, that a shota is patur min ha-mitzvos. So what's considered a shota? What makes someone a shota? So says the Gemara, Hayotze yechidi balayla. They go out at night on their own. I guess in a way that's really not rational. V'halon bebeis akvaros. They sleep in a beis akvaros. V'mekaris ksuso. They rip their clothing. So itmar, Rav Huna omar. So Rav Huna said, Ad shiyu kulam bebasachas. They have to do all of these things. Rav Yochanan omar afilu ba'achas mehen. Even if they do one of these things. So, hey, chidami, how does this work? Ida avilu derech shtos. If they did it in a crazy way, safilu b'chadanami. Only one of them should already be a simon that this person is not doesn't have all their faculties. Ida lo avilu derech shtos. They didn't do it with derech shtos. Afilu kulunami. Even if they have all of them, it wasn't derech shtos. Let's say he has a good reason to sleep in the cemetery. I don't know. There was a slumber party. Right? A very sick slumber party. Lo, la'olam deka'avilu derech shtos. No, that they can do it derech shtos, but there are explanations. V'halon bebeis akvaros, emor k'dei shetishra alav ruach tumah. He slept in the beis akvaros so he could get this ruach atumah deka'avid, v'ayotzi yechidu b'layla, and he went out at night, emor. So, in other words, he has other reasons why he went ahead and he did these things. He did these things derech shtus. So there's a big discussion in the poskim about this Gemara, because there are a lot of ramifications, aside from just how chayiv and mitzvos people are, mostly with regards to gittin and kedushin, because you're not allowed to marry or divorce if there's no das, if a person has no das. So let's say a couple gets married and everybody's perfectly healthy psychologically, and then the husband becomes unhealthy psychologically to the point that they are classified halachically as a shota. So that would be a problem with them. If the wife becomes a shota, it's a little less of a problem, because even though he can't divorce the wife, he could get what's called a heter meir rabbanim, which is a document signed by 100 rabbanim that could allow him to take a second wife. Because, and this has happened, allow him to take a second wife, because the isser to marry more than one wife is under the cherim de Rabbeinu Gershom, that's not mi'ikar adin. And the heter meir rabbanim allows one to marry more than one wife. However, if the husband is a shota, that really creates a problem, because the woman cannot marry more than one husband. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a very famous tshuva about a case he had in 1929, where a man thought he was Mashiach. And because he thought he was Mashiach, he used to walk around naked, because he felt that we were already holding back in the days of Gan Eden, where there's no reason for clothing. So they said, the guy is a shota. Now, today, if someone walks around naked, he doesn't necessarily think he's a shota. He may just live in the city, right? Avdafka is a shota. Maybe he's just a regular part of society who's decided not to wear clothing. But in 1929, such a thing was a simon for shota. Maybe today, just everyone's a shota. I don't know. So maybe all the kedushin doesn't work. So the Shiloh came to Rav Moshe, and Rav Moshe matir de get, based on three things. First of all, might have had this condition when they were married, when they got married. If that's true, he had this condition when they got married, the kedushin was possible. So, okay. Number two is, Rav Moshe said in this Gemara, it's a big machlokas rishonim, what the Gemara is saying. Is the Gemara saying that these things are simonim for a shota, but if someone's a shota otherwise, with other simonim, they're also a shota? Or is the Gemara saying that, no, this is how we clinically classify, this is our DSM. This is what tells us that the person's a shota. So Rav Moshe followed those Rishonim that say that you need these three things. If the guy doesn't do these three things, there's nothing to talk about. And the third point that Rav Moshe makes in his tshuva is that if a person's erratic behavior and irrational behavior emanates from a mistake, but the behavior itself is rational based on that mistake, maybe that's not a shota. In other words, this person thinks he's Mashiach. He's wrong, but he thinks he's Mashiach. Now he's doing weird things that look weird to us, but they don't look weird within his own reality. He thinks he's Mashiach. That's what Mashiach would do. So Rav Soloveitchik disagreed strongly with that part of the tshuva. He felt that, no, a messianic complex is a known manifestation of a compromise in one's psychological health. But nevertheless, a lot of this is based on a famous get that happened a long time ago in Cleves, I think it's called, where a guy was moving, wanted to divorce his wife. He was moving from Germany to England because he thought people were pursuing him. He was paranoid. And in Cleves, they gave the get. And in Frankfurt, they said the get is possible. And this went back and forth and back and forth. Became, there are a whole sepiskei tshuva talks about, there are a whole sfarim written about this get. And a lot of it comes down to the interpretation of this Gemara and this question of whether or not how we classify what's going on. Lamaisa, there's a tremendous amount of Torah literature today about issues of mental health and how to relate to it and how to relate b'Torah, all these halachas. And maybe as we go further in the Gemara, we can get to that. Yeah.
Should we